This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Staff Hour, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. Raya is just around the corner, and for the hijabi stars who have yet to find the matching headscarf to their dress, we talk to Fazrina Abdul Aziz of Tudung People, sharing her design motivations on our show.
I've always imagined women as flowers, you know. They are pretty, you can sprout anywhere, and they can pretty much do everything that they want. That I believe that Tudung People women are just like that. Mm-hmm. They are strong, they are independent.
After that, Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, and our very own BFMer Othnia Ting share some opinions on how to style up this Raya 2018 with waist sashes.
Or you could just, you know, grab like your normal kebaya top and get a piece of fabric that's, you know, matching with
or
similar
scarf,
matching. Yeah, or a scarf and just, you know, make your own obi sash.
But before we get to that, let's speak to our star maker of the week, Fazrina Abdul Aziz of Tudung People. The name Tudung People may sound a little simple, but their brand is widely known in the hijab industry together with the likes of duck scarves, Niloufar and Farida. Since 2011, they have showcased simple yet elegant designs catered to women with varying styles from their online store and their shop in Bangi Central. Fazrina joins us this week as she shares her aim to emphasize the beauty of the beholder with her latest Raya collection, boasting their first ever abstract design and her mission to empower women with the hashtag #MyHijabMyStory movement.
This is going to be a really long story.
It's okay. We have a lot of time.
But I'm just going to summarize it, okay? Because what I learned from starting Tudung People is that you can only plan. But I think that God has always been the master planner. You know, when I first started, it was back in like 2010. I really wanted to be an architect. You know, I studied architecture and everything seems to be good. But I think along the line, when I was in my final year, I had a few misunderstanding, you know, a bit of a drama, you know, typical student drama in university. And I just somehow lost the passion in architecture. And I was like, you know, if I don't do architecture, what else can I do? You know, I was so depressed. And my parents were like, you know, if you have any idea of what you want to do, just do it. I was in my final year. And then I was supposed to extend my study for another year. So, you know, imagining taking just one subject for a year, that's like 3 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot work because I haven't graduated. So I was like, you know what? Let's do something totally not architecture related. And I started doing Tudung People.
I mean, what inspired you then?
So I was studying in UIA back then. Shawl is like something totally new. Everybody was wearing bawal back then, you know, a square hijab. Mm-hmm. Nobody wears shawl. I mean, shawls are meant to be worn, the one on your neck. So whether it's small and thin or supposed to be for winter, which is very thick and wide. So that was quite hard for us. I mean, back then, I always wear shawl. Because, you know, being in UIA, you get introduced to a lot of people from different nations.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about the Saudis, you're talking about people from the Middle East. And then they all had different kind of hijabs, which is very different from what we had. So I started wearing pashmina.
Mm-hmm.
So a pashmina then, I mean, student price, is very cheap, but it's also very, very thick. So, you know, as a student, you have to walk a lot and it gets
sweat
really,
a lot, right?
Really warm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So during those times when I didn't have anything to do, I was like, you know what? Why don't I try creating something which is thin but opaque and wide enough for, you know, Muslims to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one thing about being in UIA is that you have to wear hijab, even though you don't wear hijab outside. So I have a lot of friends who are not used to wearing hijab and they always complain, you know, like this hijab is too thick, you know, this is not practical. Because when you start wearing hijab for a long time, those things just doesn't really mean to you.
Mm.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're just so used to it. But for people who started wearing hijab, they had, of course, a lot of complaints. But I think that is a good thing. And I think that is a problem that nobody really tried to overcome. So I think it was when I first started in 2011, I designed my first hijab line. So that hijab line was actually based on my friends' complaints. They want it thin, they want it opaque, they want it wide. So that's how Tudung People first started.
And what about the name? The brand's name, Tudung People, seems rather simple, you know, and obvious. But was there a story behind the name then?
Oh, that's quite interesting. All of these things related to when I was still in university.
Mm-hmm.
So at back then, we learned so many new Arabic languages. We're calling it hijab. You know, nobody calls Tudung hijab. We always got hijab, you know, like the whole Arabizations. So I was like, you know, it sounds so Arabic. I want something Malaysian. I want something that I made for this weather, this like ever summer weather. So I'm like, you know, we should call it Tudung. And then for somebody like me who wears Tudung, I'm like, you know, I am the people who actually wears Tudung, design this Tudung for people who wears Tudung.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just call it, you know, Tudung People? And that just came out of nowhere.
Simple and effortless, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're quite known for your social media presence, especially the hijab tutorials and tips on YouTube. How did you decide this interaction would work best?
Well, honestly, when I first started Tudung People, hijab is something very creative. You know, you imagine I don't sleep at night,
mm-hmm.
putting on hijab styles on a mannequin. You know, like just trying new things. Back then, during the Hana Tajima time,
mm-hmm.
the time when Yuna was really popular. So people want to wear hijab in a very creative way.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started asking me, you know, how do you wear this hijab? How do you wear that particular style? So when the time when nobody does hijab tutorials or makeup tutorials, that's how I first started. I think that really helped me to bring Tudung People into the internet. The whole hijab tutorial thing was very new. And everybody was watching it, everybody, especially the youngsters.
Now, many local brands tend to venture into varying apparel, such as ready-to-wear items, shoes and such. What made you focus solely on just head scarves?
I think that there's so many things about head scarves that people don't know. I think most people would think having one hijab will be enough. But honestly,
it's never, right? It's just like owning a pair of shoes.
It's not owning a pair of shoes. You need the right shoes for the right occasions.
The right color.
The right color, the right material.
Yeah.
You know, when you go doing sports, you need sports shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want Tudung People to be. You know, if you're looking for certain occasions, we will always have them.
Mm-hmm.
We even started our new hijab line, which is called Najwa Sports. So that is to cater people who do sports. And mm-hmm. then, so the materials are very quick dry. It's mesh perforated so that it gets very airy, even mm-hmm. when you sweat.
Why the name Najwa?
All of our collections, it has like, I like to give it a name because I feel that I am naming like my children's, you know. It's like every collection we made every collection based on what we love, mm-hmm. you know. It's as if every collection is answering somebody's problem. So when we create one collection, we named it based on like a princess name.
A princess name?
Yeah.
Wow, what kind of princess are we talking about?
Each name has its own meaning in Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember what Najwa means, but I think it means something about light, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Being it light and airy. We name each of the collection based on the characteristic of the collections.
So you mentioned that, you know, most of your designs or each collection, you know, has a name.
Mm-hmm.
So what about your Eid 2018? What was it inspired by?
Okay, this Eid 2018 is inspired by our customers, really. Okay, we started having this campaign. It's called My Hijab, My Story campaign. Like behind every person who wears a hijab has a story.
Hmm.
So we have 6 collections for Raya, which each collection was inspired by the people that we interviewed. So one of it is an example. I think that most people would relate people who wear hijab in a template. People would think that people who wear hijab are supposed to act in a certain way, having a certain personality. In fact, I just think that hijab is just an outer layer. There's a lot more to a person
mm-hmm.
than just a hijab. So each of these collection has its characteristics, whether you are feminine or you're a bit masculine, or you like things which are very flowery, or you like things which are a bit like sharp and edges.
Mm, they're symbolic.
Like symbolic.
I see. There are quite a number of names, you know, in your Eid collection, such as Inaya, Nisa and Dia, if I'm not wrong. Now, tell me more about the inspirations of these designs. You know, are they inspired by princesses as well?
Each of the names of the collections are mostly based on characteristics of the collections that I mentioned. But then this year's collection is very interesting in a way because we like to highlight the story of women that represent each of us in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So in the campaign, My Hijab, My Stories, we have from mothers to activists to career women to reverts. So I feel that their stories somehow inspire each of these collections.
Mm-hmm.
So having a collection that represents all kind of women.
Now, other than plain scarves with embellishments, you also have Eden, with most designs having sold out, you know, within the first days of release. Now,
first hour.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. Can you tell me more about this particular collection?
Okay, for L.E. Eden, or any L.E. in particular, most of these collections are designed by our designers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we work with illustrators from overseas. We even work with 3D makers, 3D animators, to create a particular set of designs, which then our own graphic teams will redesign it and put it on the scarves. So each of these collections are made, and some of the collections are made by hands.
Mm-hmm.
The drawings are made traditionally using watercolor. Some collections are made using 3D drawings.
Mm-hmm.
So we translate those designs into our scarves because we feel that every hijabi has their own personality. And
right.
then having printed is like having your own different set of personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very kind of unique touch in our design.
So in terms of the designs that you have, where do you get your inspirations to draw these designs?
Currently, we do have a lot of flowers. I mean, Turung people is known for our floral designs.
Mm-hmm.
I've always imagined women as flowers, you know. They are pretty, you can sprout anywhere, and they can pretty much do everything that they want. That I believe that Turung people, women are just like that.
Mm-hmm.
They are strong, they are independent. So this year's LE was made from wildflowers, inspired from wildflowers. Just the flowers that can just sprout anywhere and just live and be who they are.
That's like women empowerment in a way.
It is. We do have our second LE. Okay,
mm-hmm.
This second LE, I think, is quite special for me because it was designed in an architectural way.
Oh.
Yeah, we work with an architect
mm-hmm.
who made a 3D rendition of all the architectural elements in Malaysia. So we are talking about the National Mosque Payung.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the rooftop looks like an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of architecture in Malaysia, it has that Islamic value to it. So we take all of those characteristics and turn it into a building.
Wow.
Yeah. So in for that particular design, we had an axonometry designs of the drawing. I think axonometry is something that we first learn as an architect, and then we put it on a scarf. So I think that is quite special for me. That is our very first abstract limited edition scarves.
Limited edition?
Yes.
I mean, since you first started your business in 2011, right? And it's been 7 years right now since you've running the business. How many collections have you created?
Oh my God, that's so hard. I've never actually counted. But just this year alone, we have about 40.
This year, we're only in like middle of the year. You have 40 collections?
Yeah. I mean, there are times where we do have weekly releases. But there are times where we just release more than just one collection in a week. And each of the collection has like mini collections and stuff like that.
How many pieces do you have, you know, in one collection?
In one collection, I would say, example, for this LE, we have 28 designs.
Mm-hmm.
So for one limited edition collections. So that's one. And then for signatures, we have just so many different kind of materials.
Wow. What kind of materials do you work with now?
Okay, right now, I think the one that people love the most
mm-hmm.
is silk material. We do have satin silk, and then we have silk blend as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also have so many cotton chiffon, more cotton chiffon. So it's like a different range of materials just to suit different activities.
Ah, I see. So you cater to different people and different activities at the
yes.
same time. So what's the best material to work with?
Honestly, it really depends on what you're doing. But my favorite material would have to be heavy chiffon,
mm-hmm.
being it very reliable. Like once you ironed it, you can just stay in the car or do something. It will never get creases.
Oh, that's yeah. perfect.
Yeah, but for events, that might not be, I would say,
It would not be glam enough.
So we work with a lot of silk.
Mm-hmm.
Silk blend material because you don't have to dry clean it. So it's very easy to maintain. But it still looks almost like silk with a very affordable price.
So where do you source your fabrics?
Most of our fabric is either from China and Korea.
Mm-hmm.
We do source a few of our collection from Indonesia.
And what about the designs? Are they all made here?
Yes. I have my whole team just to design the scarves.
Wow. And how long does it take for a scarf to be ready?
Usually, I mean, if you count out the design sample making period, about 3 to 4 months.
3 to 4 months.
Yeah. That's for one production.
And it all sold out really fast. That's a good thing, right?
That's a good thing. I hope it maintains that way.
After the break, I'll be back with Fazrina as she shares her thoughts on the place of the tudung in the modern fashion industry. You're listening to Stylefile and I'm Adeline Cheung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to Stylefile with me, Adeline Cheung. On today's show, I'm joined by Fazrina Abdulaziz of Tudung People. And before the break, we spoke to her about how the brand started and the motivations behind her designs. And now we're back to speak about her thoughts on the booming hijab industry and her movement to empower women with the My Hijab, My Story hashtag. Now, in recent years, the hijab industry has been booming in Malaysia.
That's correct.
Yeah, so we have Yuna, Hana Tajima, we have Niloufar. You know, what makes you unique from other hijab brands?
I think instead of having a celebrity's endorsement, I think for us, we cater mostly to our customers. So our hijab are very lifestyle oriented. So we even create tudungs that you can wear at home, as you know. I mean, even though it's quite rare, but we have families, I mean, people who live in families where the women have to wear hijab at home because they have, you know, probably strangers living in the same house and things like that. So we do even cater hijabs for people staying at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that our designs are very people-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It's really meant for daily wear and lifestyle, to cater a different kind of lifestyle. If I would like to add, even our scarves, we have sizes. Just to cater people who are taller or people who want wider coverage.
I see. But do you think that you have to handle competitors around you?
That is correct. I think that there are so many new hijab brands right now. But that's the thing. I think being the pioneer of hijab in e-commerce, I think we had the advantage of people knowing us first.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. And then I think that we went a little crazy on having too many materials and too many colors.
It's not a bad thing, I would say.
It's not a bad thing. But I would say that could be our signature.
Yeah.
We do have so many basic plain scarves. I think a lot of brands do not follow what we're doing right now.
So how do you maintain, you know, the hype that has been keeping tudung people on the hijab stars radar?
One thing is that we love our customers. I hope that they love us too. Because we do a lot of events. It might not be an open event, but we do spend a lot of time with the hijabi community. We keep close in touch with our members, our friends. I would call it the Tudung People community. So I think that it's not really business and customers basis. It has turned into a very good new relationship.
Now, I want to know, the local hijab culture is seen as a fashion lifestyle, you know, more than a religious belief at times. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but with the viral video a few months ago of Niloufar's event a few months back, you know, with ladies wearing hijabs dancing at a nightclub. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, honestly, because I was not at that event, but I've seen the event through my friends' Insta stories. I believe that the part that went viral was not the main event. Because the event was long, there was fashion show, there was so many empowerment talk. So they did not feature that. They only feature probably the bad
side. The bad things about the event. That's how people are selective hearing, selective views, you know.
Yes, that's correct. I think that if you look at the event as a whole, besides the location, I think the event, it was quite a nice event.
It was a nice event.
Yeah, I think they probably would not expect that to happen as well.
I see. But would you actually support Niloufar at the same time, you know, at the event itself?
Honestly, because I do adore her and I think that whatever she did is amazing, you know, not just because she's a celebrity. I think she's a very smart businesswoman. I would support her.
Now, I want to talk about you right now. What is your personal signature style, your go-to look, you know, that you wear daily and would you recommend to others?
One thing about Tudung People is that we support and we want to show that wearing hijab is very easy. It is so easy for you to cover your aura. So my daily wear has always been something that is very quick, perhaps maximum of 1 or 2 pins only. So I think in these recent years, Tudung People, it's not just a platform where we sell tudung. We also like to educate women about hijab.
And how to wear and all.
How to wear them, how do we style them?
Which leads to my next question, Noah. There are many, many, many designs in the hijab industry, you know, from the modest to the most extravagant looks. What's your deal breaker for a hijab design?
Honestly, what sets us apart probably is our unique prints and having so many different materials availability.
And then some people tend to struggle, you know, with matching their hijab to the rest of their outfit. So what fashion tips can you give?
If you think the color clash, it probably is.
It's just like kabaya, right?
Yeah, I think that we have worked past having too many clashing colors. You're talking about color blocking. I think I'm way past that. It's all about being minimal right now. You want to wear color that matches your clothes and you want to wear as little color combination as possible. I wear like black and white on a daily basis.
Simple, so, minimalist, right?
It's minimalist. And I think it, you will never go wrong about it. I mean, you can just pop in like a colorful hijab and just keep your clothes to the minimal. You will work wonder.
Now, you recently shared stories of women with the hashtag #MyHijabMyStory for Eid 2018, which you mentioned earlier, right? Now, what is this about and what encouraged it?
Okay, even though hijab is gaining attention in the eyes of the world, women who wear hijab still tend to be stereotyped and cast under the same white net.
Why do you think so?
We get that a lot. You know, people always think that if you wear a hijab, you have to be perfect. If you wear a hijab, you are oppressed. We get that. I know that it's 2018 and that's not how it works anymore, but apparently it does.
So how do you react to that? Or what would you tell them?
For once, I think that putting Niloufar's case as an example, you will expect a hijabi to be perfect. But I think that in the end, if you look past the hijab, they are still human. So you have to understand that it's not the hijab that defines a person. It is a person who defines the hijab. And if they do something wrong, it's just a human error. And we have to look past that. Because I get a lot of people saying that if you do a certain things, take off your hijab. If you're not doing it right, take off your hijab. I don't think...
They do that. They do say that.
They do that.
I think that
is wrong. I think that people should encourage people to wear hijab. And then if they did something wrong, you should condemn the action and not the hijab. So that's what we're trying to tell by using My Hijab, My Story. Because I think that the stigmas attached to hijab are just too many to mention. If you've seen, as an example, mothers who stay at home, people will be like, oh, you are oppressed. Is your husband forcing you to stay at home? We still get that. And amazingly, I think that people forgot that we have the choice to stay at home. We have the choice to work. And we choose our action based on what we want to do. Because I don't think there's anything wrong with mothers who chose to stay at home or mothers who chose to work.
So how has response been since you've launched the hashtag?
I think that we received so tremendous amount of support, especially people. I think that people could really relate to it. You know, I think mothers on both sides, as an example, people, mothers who choose to stay at home or mothers who choose to work, they both get different kind of stigmas, but they both were perceived badly. So, you know, to hear actually inspiring stories, we feature inspiring stories behind all these hijabis, and it feels really good to be able to relate and resonate with how our customers feel.
What was the most inspiring story that you've ever heard from the women that you have interviewed?
One of them probably comes from, we interviewed this one doctor. It's called Dr. Fazia Muhammad Hassan. So she's an OBG right now. She's a consultant. But she told me that when she first started studying, because she studied in the UK, the people asked her to take off her hijab in the operation theatre because she said that nobody's looking at you. So why do you want to wear hijab? And she said, it is my belief. I choose to wear it. Nobody's forcing me to wear it, but I choose to wear it because of my religion. And she stayed on. And look at her right now. She's a consultant. And she's also the chairperson for a charity company. So she's going like all around the world to save other women, to help other women. And I think that it's so amazing.
So currently, is this particular hashtag, My Hijab, My Story, is still going on at the moment?
We do have 6 different videos featuring 6 different people. from all kind of backgrounds. So we hope that this video can be inspiring to people, especially for those who are scared to wear hijab because of all these stigmas.
Now, you have been in the industry for 7 years now. You know, what has been the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge being in industry is probably having to always keep up with the trend. because you see, the trend in Malaysia moves really fast.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Right now, after the general election, it's like Bawal is so, it's like the hot thing because YB Nurul Izzah is wearing it. So you see, the trend moves really fast. Sometimes it's a bit too fast for us. We have to always keep track of the latest news, the latest celebrities. And especially in Malaysia, being viral, it's like...
It's quite tiring, right, sometimes.
It does get quite tiring sometimes.
So what was your key motivation to develop the brand into what it is today?
I think that, honestly, I get really inspired by my customers. I mean, the stories that I get about, you know, a customer came up to me and said, you know, I started wearing hijab because of you guys. You know, you showed me how to wear hijab and I thought that it looked pretty and I just tried it and the hijab just stays on. I think those kind of comments really, really made my day. It just made me keep going for it.
So do you have any plans or collaborations, maybe with local designers?
After Raya, we're looking into venturing with more batik designed. Something probably handmade scarves.
Okay.
Because most of our scarves right now are printed. So we want to venture into something a bit more Malaysian, I would say.
Now, have you ever considered extending the business outside hijabs? You know, I mean, a ready-to-wear line or maybe bajus, you know, perhaps, or matching accessories?
We still want to keep into hijab line, but perhaps something a little bit out of hijab, probably the accessories that comes with the hijab or hijab care. We want to be in this hijab world, but perhaps just expanding the universe into hijab accessories.
Well, all the best to you.
Thank you.
Finally, where can our listeners find you?
We are available online at www.tudungpeople.com. Or you can drop by our flagship store, that's Tudung People Signature in Bangi Central.
That was Fazrina Abdul Aziz of Tudung People, who spoke to us about her motivations behind keeping Tudung People relevant and her desire to empower Tudung people of all walks. Stay tuned because coming up next is Florence Song, Stylie Dead's Laura, and our very own BFMer Othniel Ting as they discuss how to start out this Raya 2018 with waist sashes. But before that, here's a Raya tune for you to get you into the Raya mood. It's Sharifah Aini with Nostalgia Idil Fitri. This is Stylefile and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is Adeline Chung on Stylefile. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And our Florence Song Stylie Dead's Laura, as well as BFM's own Othniel Ting, talk to us about the next Raya fashion statement, waist sashes. This week, we're talking about waist sashes for Raya. Usually a ribbon knotted around the waist to accentuate the shape of the body. Now, waist sashes has been used quite a lot as a traditional outfit piece. And not only that, you know, sashes traditionally form part of formal military attire. So how or when did it become a fashion piece? So give us a quick breakdown of the trend, Florence.
Waist sashes, I mean, they've always been incorporated in fashion, whether with, you know, blazers to give it like an interesting spin. But for now, we see them being incorporated a lot into the Raya trend as well, with baju kurungs, no matter the cut from like loose breezy kaftans to even the traditional like kebaya top silhouette. They all have a huge focus on the waist.
So question from a man's perspective here, what's the purpose? Is it like a belt or is it to like... To get a better figure or...
To accentuate the figure,
well,
right?
I guess it's more of an aesthetic thing. So I'd say the latter, but yes, it will also act as a belt to tighten the waist or tighten the fabric. So for example, if you use a waist sash on like a kaftan, like a loose kaftan, it kind of brings in the waist and mm-hmm. also holds any loose fabric in place. Mm-hmm. So it gives you more of a, like an hourglass figure. It looks more shapely and more feminine as well.
And I guess it's suitable for raya because, you know, yeah. after some makan, you know, you can loosen up instead of wearing a belt, right?
Of course.
So what are the best runways you've seen so far?
For designers, mm-hmm. I'd stick to like the Malaysian raya designers. I'd say Jovian Mandangi. He did like a modern kimono kabaya with like Japanese inspired prints and like an obi belt sash around the waist. Mm. So it's like traditional Malay costume that also brings to mind like a Japanese kimono. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. Something that was also seen at Izzati Amira, who did this blue kind of printed kabaya with, you know, black obi belt sash, as well as Fizzy Wu and Lukna as well.
So do we need to buy these designers in order to get waist sashes, or can we buy it off the rack somewhere else?
I'm sure you can. Or you could just, you know, grab like your normal kabaya top and get a piece of fabric that's, you know, matching with
or
similar
scarf,
matching. Yeah,
maybe.
Or a scarf, and just, you know, make your own obi sash.
So how would you style it? So for example, if you didn't buy from the designers, you mm-hmm. know, how would you style it?
It really depends on the entire look, because most raya outfits are pretty much like an entire look. So depending on the design and the colours. So one of the biggest raya accessories at the moment mm-hmm. are those large oversized floral 3D earrings.
Yes.
So I definitely say go for that if you want to stay on trend.
And in terms of colours?
In terms of colours,
does it have to be the same colour, or can you pair it with other colours?
You
and what's
can,
good for it?
Well, most people would actually go for something in a similar colour family just to, you know, stick to a continuity for the whole look. But if you want to do something that's a bit more contrasting, or, you know, to stand out a bit more, you can go for like a different colour as well.
So do you think this waist sashes is a thing to invest in or not?
It really depends on your personal preference. I'd say if you like the aesthetic and you like how it looks, go for it. Personally, I think it looks really cool. It's like a different take on the budget kuro and the budget kabaya, so it looks good. It's very modern.
So that was from Song of Zalora and Off Muting with the latest raya trend of waist sashes. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can also catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. Now it is available on Google Play and the App Store. And with that, here's one of my favorite raya tune by Saloma with Selamat Hari Raya. I'd like to wish all Muslims Selamat Hari Raya, Aidilfitri, Maaf Zahir dan Batin. This has been Stylefile and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.